Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. This week, though, not with Paul Grant. We have, once again, an associate attorney there at the firm Planning with Purpose, Danielle Olero. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
Good to see you once again.
Yes, nice to see you as well.
Hey, you were taking us through all the differences between wills and trusts and how they affect your estate, and you're going to move on to trusts this week. But first, before we get into that, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How long have you been with the firm?
Yeah, so I've been with the firm for a little over 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And so about 3 years ago, I made the switch to actually doing about 80% of what I do is closing trusts and wills, some that we've developed, some that we haven't. And so this is really kind of me just talking about what I do every day. And it's kind of something that people are really afraid of when they come into my office. They're really nervous. What does it mean to close somebody's estate? And so just kind of trying to dispel some of that and make people a little more comfortable.
Did you grow up wanting to do this kind of work or?
Yeah, so I went to Gonzaga for my undergrad and thought maybe I wanted to be an attorney. So I came back to Tri-Cities, which is where I grew up, and started working at a family law firm, actually. And during my time there, I had some really amazing mentors. And they kind of said, you know, you're really good at this. I think you should really go to law school. So from that experience, I sort of started looking at what I liked about what I was doing. And the parts that I really enjoyed was working with directly with clients. And the parts I didn't enjoy was the amount of courtroom work that it involved and the amount of animosity that it involved. And so when I went to law school, people started talking about estate planning because that's where you can work directly with clients. There's not a lot of court work. And so I ended up getting connected with Paul, and the rest is kind of history. But
okay, well, it sounds like you're ready for your kind of work. And this is real detail-oriented work, a lot of family interaction. Well, you said hostility in courts, but you have to probably deal with some hostility a lot of times with families too, don't you? Or do you run into that much?
Hurt feelings anyway. That's exactly right. Yes. There's there's always one. There's usually one in every family. But yes, I do end up with a lot of animosity and just family dynamics coming out during this time. So you've got grief, you've got money in the middle of things. People have different reactions to that grief. Some people want to get really busy, other people don't. There's family history that I'm not aware of, especially between siblings. So I do have to kind of navigate that quite often, but hopefully I take my job as to try to be the person to bring a little bit of peace to that situation and whatever that might look like. So I try to bring peace to that as much as I can.
Okay, well, we want people to have some peace about maybe getting a trust this week. Two main systems that you use in having an estate, that's a will or a trust. We talked about wills in our last couple of shows. You can find those at legacyandfaith.com. This week, we want to describe more what is a trust. So give us the basics on what is a trust.
Yeah, so a trust is we have two different tools. We have a will or a trust, and a trust is essentially a holding container. And so at the office, we have a candy bowl, sort of represents our trust. And so the instructions are the portion that actually makes up that holding container. So what happens if I'm disabled? What happens when I'm alive and well? And then what happens after I've passed away? So all of those instructions essentially create this holding container. And then we take all of your, so to speak, candy in life, so your house or your bank account or your investment accounts, and we title those into the name of the trust. And that's how all of those instructions attach to your assets And so that's what creates the trust itself. And so now all of those instructions are there. And then we name a trustee, which is the person who is actually managing everything that's inside of the trust. Mm-hmm. So the kind of trust that we're talking about today is what we start with anyways is called a revocable living trust. So that revocable living trust, even though everything's in the name of the trust, it's actually still running under someone's social security numbers. So it's still all their stuff. There's no differences in taxes or, you still keep your insurance policies and things like that. So one of the things we have people come in with a preconceived notion that trusts have some sort of a asset protection element to them. And there are different kinds of trusts we can use for that. But the kind that we're starting out talking with today anyways is a revocable living trust.
Which is the standard one people use.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked last time too about one of the main no-nos to do is to not put your adult children on your accounts. Now, does a trust solve that issue?
It does, yeah. So we talked about last time that putting your adult children onto, some people will put it on their bank accounts so that they can just help them manage their bills and everything else. But one of the dangers in that is that if you were to pass away, it actually becomes that person's property. Or if there's something that went wrong in their life to where they got into a car accident, were sued, then your money can actually be taken in their lawsuit. Mm. So there's a lot of big... Yeah, no knows about doing that.
Mm. But if you're
in a trust, yeah, you can actually have them be a trustee. And so they can help manage everything, but it's not actually theirs. And so we do that quite often with people who do want some help. And that can be over the entire trust. And we can also do it just over specific assets. So some people say, I just want them to help me with my banking. Well, that's something that we can do with a trust that we just can't do with a will.
Mm-hmm. So other assets, too, then are protected by a trust so that they're not taken in a lawsuit?
So again, that's a pretty preconceived notion that we come in with is that there is some sort of asset protection. So the kind of trust that has asset protection is called an irrevocable trust. And so in order to get asset protection, there's kind of a teeter-totter, which is you can have all the control, which is a revocable living trust. So it's all still your stuff. You can buy it, sell it, use it, whatever you want to do with it. Versus an irrevocable trust, you're giving up some of your control or all of your control. Mm. And so you can either have control or you can have asset protection. And it's kind of a push and pull. Mm. So if you're giving away control, then that's something we want to be really careful about. So we do use irrevocable trust sometimes, and we'll probably talk about some of those times today. But for the most part, think of asset protection on one side of the spectrum and your control on the other.
Mm. Okay, well, let's move on then here. Again, so I was the trustee in my aunt's trust, and what I loved about it is we did avoid probate by having a living trust. So to me, that right there is the main reason you want to get a trust is so you don't have to get the courts involved in things for the most part.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so the last couple of shows, we've talked about what is probate and things like that. And we had talked about what goes through probate are things that don't have a beneficiary designation and don't have a joint owner. So when we were talking about what a trust is, we actually title everything. So your home, your bank accounts, everything's in the name of the trust. And so because it's in the name of the trust rather than in your personal name, then we don't actually have to go through probate. So so that is one of the biggest benefits of doing trust work is that it does avoid going through probate. And it's a fully private closing, so we don't have to get the courts involved at all. And it can just remain a family affair, which is honestly what people think will happen even when they have a will, actually.
Mm-hmm. They think that, but that's not the case with the will.
That's exactly
right.
Well,
seeing what was, I think the thing, too, about a trust is it seems like such more of a thoughtful thing to do for your family after you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier for them to deal with the trust than it is to deal with probate.
That's exactly right. And it's not just during death, right? So a trust, as an example, our wills are about you know, 5 to 7 pages. They could be a little bit longer depending on what you need. But our trusts are over 100 pages long. And so it addresses, you know, time during your lifetime. How do you want to be taken care of? Also, if somebody is disabled, which means that they can't manage their finances for one reason or another, it goes through how you actually want to be taken care of in that situation. So it just gives a whole lot more detail. And people sometimes think that more detail is more complicated, but actually to give somebody more clarity as to what you would want really brings a lot of peace of mind to somebody who is putting in that position, whether it be to take care of you when you're disabled or after you've passed away.
Yeah. Doing these shows with Paul for so many years, that was one thing that I've really learned from him is that it isn't necessarily just for when you pass away, these kinds of documents and power, because a lot of times, yeah, you can spend 20 years in a very vulnerable position and you need some of those protections.
That's very true. And that's part of what I do. So it's not just when someone passes away, but it's actually, you know, somebody is starting to age. What does that mean? How much help do they need? And through a trust, it's actually easier, number one, to accomplish that. So it's a lot faster to get you the help that you need. But it's also something that we can build upon, and so it's not an all or nothing proposition, which is easier for the person who are, you know, they're essentially giving away their control, and I find that they'll do it more voluntarily through a trust mechanism because now we're involving people who they've named, who they know and trust, and they remember making this plan, and so now it's time to implement the plan. They've had a lot of time to get used to it. So I just find that it is a really as much smoother transition during lifetime as well as after death.
Okay, talking with Danielle Olero. She's an associate of Paul Grant at Planning with Purpose. Legacy and Faith Show this week looking at trusts. That's a lot of what Danielle does there at the firm. And I need to take a break here real quick, but people are intrigued. They want to know about your company and the kinds of services you offer. How do people get in touch with you, Danielle?
Yes, they can log on to thelegacyandfaith.com and they can find more about us.
Legacyandfaith.com is the website. Okay, we're back with more discussion about trusts here in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, Danielle Olero once again sitting in for Paul Grant, talking about trusts this week. And we are talking about some of the advantages of trust. We're talking about how a trust can help you in your lifetime. But let's say now someone has passed away. How does a trust help with this transition?
Yeah, so last time we had talked about the first thing that you would do, and this was whether you have a trust, a will, nothing, is that we encourage our clients to call us. And so there's a lot of things that we talked about in our last episodes of things to do and not to do. And that actually really doesn't change too much with a trust.
And some of those things you do and don't do, like don't start giving away things.
Yep.
And all that kind of stuff.
That's exactly right. Don't start giving away things. No one can drive the cars. Don't start closing out bank accounts. Mm-hmm. So there's a specific order that we really need to do things in and to make sure that people are aware of. And so most of the things that we're going to tell you to do is to take care of your family. That's the biggest thing. And to just make sure that if there's any pets or anything else, that those are taken care of. But other than that, there's really not a lot to do immediately.
Okay.
And part of what we talked about last time was that what we're waiting for is actually the death certificates. And so that's something that we don't get away from, whether it's a will or a trust either. So those typically take somewhere between 7 and 10 days. So that first 7 to 10 days really is a lot of a waiting period.
Okay. So get the death certificate and you need that.
Yep. That's so exactly
start going
right.
Going around to different accounts, different banks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so after we get that, then we can begin to actually do the closing process. So unlike in a trust, or I mean, excuse me, in a will situation, we're not actually going to the court and opening up the probate. Mm. So I can empower a new trustee. We talked about that's the person who is in charge of everything that's inside of the trust. I can appoint a new trustee within a day, really, of us getting those death certificates. So instead of waiting, you know, a couple of weeks for the court to get back to us and get everything signed to us, I can have that done in a day. So there is, it's a lot faster to even start the process in a trust because it's fully private, and so we don't have to ask the court for permission or anything.
Yeah, one thing I remember too from it, you're talking about the death certificates. You need multiples of those a lot of times. Mm-hmm. A lot of places won't take a photocopy of the death certificate. They want an actual notarized one. How many should somebody get?
That's a great question. So that's part of what we'll talk about when a client will call us. But typically, someplace between 5 and 10 is typically where we'll start. Mm-hmm. And you're right that it depends on what kinds of assets that you have. So things like annuities, life insurances, they will want an original death certificate. Mm-hmm. There's other kinds of assets that will require an original death certificate. Sometimes they'll give them back. A lot of times they don't. So, mm-hmm. So yes, having several of those, I know they cost money, but someplace between 5 and 10 is usually a safe bet.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this process takes, does it take as long as probate, which you said can last 6 to 18 months? How long does this process take with a trust?
Yeah, so it can be a lot faster. I can, like I said, to even open it up is significantly faster. And with a simple probate, I think we talked about last time, I couldn't close it faster than 6 months. And that's really because of all the different notices and things that the law and the statutes require. For a trust, I can do that a lot faster. It typically is... It ends up being faster, and I could close something in a month or two, really. Hmm. But it also depends on, we talked about last time that these are people, and they just lost somebody. So there's a lot of times where people don't want to talk to me as much as they think they do in the first 2 months.
Right.
So more typically, it'll take somewhere between 3 and 6 months if it's not a spouse who's passed away. Hmm. For a spouse, they oftentimes need a lot more time, and those ones usually take about a year. But it's a lot more of the trustee is in control. Mm. So whether that be the heir or the child or the spouse, they're in control of how fast or slow this process really takes. Mm. And that gives them a lot of control and a lot of peace of mind, actually, is to be able to be in control of that. And if they need to look at me and say, hey, I just need a few months, they can do that. Or sometimes they say, I just want to get this done as fast as possible. Mm. And we can certainly do that as well. Mm. We talked about last time, too, that there's still the matter of the house. And so the house is oftentimes still the...
Take a while.
Yeah, those ones can take a while. To sell, to clean out the house and things like that. So that still exists, but I can do this a lot faster than I can.
Well, I found too, something that you can't rush is like filing the last taxes for the person. I mean, mm-hmm. You got to pay taxes, death
yes.
and taxes, you know.
That's very true.
You know, those things. So in a sense, the trust isn't really closed until all that is taken care of too, right?
That's very true. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of the questions that I get is you do have to file a last tax return, whether it's a will or a trust, for somebody for as long as they lived into this year. Mm-hmm. So if someone died yesterday, well, they didn't live very long into 2023, so there may not need to be a last tax return for 2023. We might need to finish 2022. Mm-hmm. Versus if somebody, you know, dies in December of this year, well, they may have had a lot of income and things like that. So we do have to file a 2023 tax return for somebody who dies this year. And you're correct that there might be some waiting, but most everything can be done pretty quickly. And yes, there are some things that, make it.
Because the trustee can get a sense of how much they've got to still keep in reserves to pay taxes. But for the most part, they can get most of the disbursement done.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this process sounds very similar to closing a will. Aside from it not going through probate, are there other differences with closing a trust?
Yeah, so the time is really a big deal. It's also, I mean, we talked about that it's not a court-driven process. And so probate is a court-driven process. And because it's a court-driven process, actually, everything is public record. So there's a lot of private documents that are going into that probate. People can go down and they can really request the copies of the will or anything else that's really been filed in that process. And so,
yeah, we forget that a will is a public record.
Yes, exactly.
A trust is private.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A trust is private. And so I actually had a client who we filed her probate, and she called me within a week of us filing the probate and said, why did my sister find the petition for the probate associated on an Ancestry.com page? And so I think we do forget that, you know, it is private. It's not like we send it out to these different places, but they do have a way of finding out. And so you'll start to see through a will, because it is a public closing, you'll start to see things that are associated online. People will start to get offers to buy a house or to clean out their, you know, clean out the stuff and have an estate sale. There's a lot of junk mail. There's a lot of junk calls because that person's name, whoever the executor is now out in the public. And so people are starting to find out. There's a lot of scams that happen during that time, especially with surviving spouses. So Yes, if you have a will.
Mm-hmm.
And so making it be private with a trust so that we don't have to file it with the court and that it doesn't become public is actually a huge benefit that I don't know that we fully appreciate until we're in it and going, I don't know why I'm getting all this mail and these phone calls.
Well, again, my contention, too, is that a trust is such a thoughtful thing to do for your family that you leave behind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And so, yeah, to have a smoother transition and so that they're not having to deal with all of these things and these phone calls and everything else is a big deal.
Okay. Any other advantages to using a trust?
So there are some tax advantages to using a trust after someone's passed away. And so I won't get into the technicalities of that and bore you too much with it. But just trust me that for estate taxes specifically, that's one of the reasons that we'll use a trust most often is for estate taxes.
Estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What
else? Okay.
There's also a protections reason that we'll use trust. And so we talked about at the very beginning that a revocable living trust does not offer protections to you as a trust maker. But after you've passed away, then we can set up an asset protection type of trust for your beneficiaries. And so now a bubble of protection can go around what they've inherited. And so if they were to get into a car accident and get sued in that accident, or if they were to go through a medical crisis and then have to go through bankruptcy, then we can create a trust that actually does have asset protections to the next generation. And so that's a huge benefit for people. You know, I have one younger brother. He's 9 years younger than me. And to give him something that is able to be protected better than any insurance product that he could ever purchase on the market is something that I think, you know, is a huge value to having a trust.
Yeah. And also we talked about how you can help dependent children. Maybe you have a special needs adult that, you know, who's going to take care of them when I'm gone? You know, a trust can really help with that need.
That's exactly right. And that's another reason why we will certainly leave things into a trust. So we talked about last time minor children can't actually inherit money, and special needs people can't actually have it and not get disqualified from certain government benefits. And so we can leave it in trust so that, again, it can be fully private that it is managed by the person who you want, who you'd want to be managing that money. And so you have a lot of control over that. And so just to make sure that the court's not going in, and we talked about last time having some sort of guardianship or conservator over a over the money, and then they get to determine who that is. So you can decide who, and really how your kids are then taken care of, and give a lot of expression to how that money is to be used, and some of the values really to be taught around money and around some other values that you might have as a family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, interesting discussion this week. I think we're going to have to continue this next time. But again, some of the advantages of a trust, living trust. You guys really, I know Paul really is very excited about trusts. He thinks it's a better vehicle than a will. And as we're talking, you can see why. It's more involved than a will, obviously, ahead of time for the family to set up. And we'll talk more about that next time. But people are interested in your services there at Planning with Purpose. Danielle, how do people find out more?
Yeah, you can log on to the legacyandfaith.com website and find out more about us.
And lots of previous broadcasts as well. The series that we did with Danielle on wills is on there most recently, and a whole lot more. LegacyandFaith.com. Thank you, Danielle Olero, an associate of Paul Grant at Planning with Purpose, and this is the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at LegacyandFaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.